Hello and welcome to May 2025's edition of The Beacon, brought to you by the Working Parent Company. I am Sharon Charlton-Thompson. I'm the coaching director, co-founder and CEO of the Working Parent Company. And in this edition, we are exploring and doing a bit of a deep dive into the idea of the good mother. Or if we bring it up to date, maybe we can start calling it the good other. In the 1950s, the British paediatrician and psychoanalyst Donald Winnicott introduced a concept that quietly revolutionised how we think about parenting. I'm sure you know that he spoke of the good enough mother, a caregiver who, rather than striving for perfection, meets the child's needs reliably enough for healthy emotional development, but critically also allows the frustrations necessary for a resilience to emerge in that child. It was a compassionate human vision of care that acknowledged imperfection as not only inevitable, but essential. And when it comes to parenting, his theory really did change everything. It's 70 years on, we're in 2025, and the pressures of working parents have intensified, especially for those in demanding leadership roles. How we parent in 2025 will probably look quite different to how we were parented. The expectation to be endlessly available at work, emotionally attuned at home, and somehow still tending to your own well-being is an impossible standard to maintain. Plus, for many working parents these days, they are part of a dual career couple or parenting single-handedly. We might think Winnicott's theories are therefore a little out of date, as Winnicott wrote for mothers in a mid-20th century Britain. Yet the essence of his insights remain vital for all of us navigating work and parenthood. But maybe it's time to bring his idea up to date. It's not just applicable to mothers, but for fathers, for co-parents, for step-parents, same-sex parents, grandparents, godparents, adoptive parents, and the community of adults raising children today. We might call Winnicott's good enough mother the good enough other in 2025. The myth of perfection. Today's working parents are often driven by high standards. After all, it's the very ambition that propelled most of us to where we are in our careers. But perfectionism in parenting, like in leadership, can be corrosive. The modern myth that one should be fully present in every board meeting and every bedtime story only sets us up to feel that we're failing at both. Winnicott understood that a child doesn't need and in fact shouldn't have a perfect parent. I'm going to say that again. Winnicott understood that a child doesn't need and in fact shouldn't have a perfect parent. A child thrives when cared for by an adult who responds sensitively and consistently enough, who allows space for frustration, absence and repair. In those moments where attention lapses or plans fall through, children begin to develop the resilience, the creativity, and the self-soothing capacities that they will need in later life. These ruptures are as vital as the nurturing. And that's so important. The same principle applies to how we support one another as parents, friends, colleagues, and others in each other's lives. The good enough other acknowledges that none of us can do it all, and that we're interdependent, especially in the thick of careers and caregiving. So if we expand Winnicott's idea of mother, the notion of the good enough other also invites us to widen that circle of caregiving. In dual career households, single parent families, blended families, caregiving is rarely the domain of one person, and nor should it be. When we let go of the ideal of the primary perfect parent, often mother, we make space for a network of good enough others, those who can step in, step back and share the load. It takes a village. It's never rang more true. This might be a partner who takes over when a late meeting overruns, a grandparent on FaceTime reading a bedtime story, a fellow parent that shares playdates or pickups to ease the load, a godparent offering perspective, or a trusted friend who's there to remind us that we're doing better than we think. Critically, it also needs to be ourselves. We need to be able to forgive our own limitations and recognise that as leaders or workers in organisations and families, our value isn't measured by an omnipresence, but by authenticity, empathy, and knowing when to show up and when to step aside. In coaching, we often use the acronym "Only Do What Only You Can Do" to orient parents to consider what can be delegated, what can be ditched, and what is it that only they can do. For example, a parent's evening has to be attended by the parent. Managing guilt and presence. One of the most common themes I hear in the coaching practice for senior parents is that of guilt. Guilt for missing a sports day, guilt for snapping at tired children after a draining day at work, guilt for being distracted in meetings because the child is poorly at home. Guilt has become the soundtrack of the modern working parent's mind. The good enough other doesn't dismiss this guilt, but is able to reframe it. It acknowledges that there will be missed moments, there will be disappointments, there will be imperfect choices that are made, because being a working parent is full of compromise. So guilt is inevitable. But what matters more is how we stay connected over time, how we repair when things go wrong, and how we model to our children that being human is messy but manageable. One powerful practice to focus on is presence over perfection. We may not make every school play, but being fully present when we are at home, even for 10 minutes, can outweigh hours of distracted togetherness. In fact, Winnicott's original theory found that it was 30% of present attuned parenting that was about the right amount for secure attachment. Small, meaningful rituals of connection build a sense of security far more than constant availability ever will. A culture of good enough. As leaders, we also have an opportunity to normalise this ethos in our organisations, creating cultures where colleagues can talk openly about family pressures, where flexible working is genuinely respected, and where being a good enough other is seen as a strength rather than a flaw. All of that benefits everyone. It was probably around 15 years ago now, when I was coaching at the BBC, that I first saw this in practice. It was actually from a working father. He'd left an out-of-office message on his email that read, "I arrive at my desk around 9:45 a.m. each day. You can text or leave a message before then, but I will not be able to respond, as I drop my children off at nursery and school every morning. Thank you for your understanding." I remember that seeing that message come into my email stood out like a sore thumb back in the day. And I remember how impressed I felt at his courage, not only to hold a boundary, but to have the bravery and the openness and the vulnerability to communicate it internally to colleagues and externally to clients via his email. Many more of us do things like that these days, thank goodness. But it's still tricky to hold boundaries. It's time, therefore, to stop holding ourselves to impossible standards. In parenting, as in leadership, good enough really is good enough. Not as a compromise, but as a wise, compassionate and sustainable way to live, to lead and to parent. Winnicott's insight wasn't about lowering the bar. It was about raising children and living lives that can tolerate imperfection, embrace humanity and find strength in interdependence. In 2025, 70 years on from his original theory, it's still one that we all do well to remember. You'll see in the written edition of the Beacon that in the seeing aspect this month, we're looking at Kirsty's new book, which has been published. I think it was yesterday, actually. My edition has just turned up. So please check out Kirsty Sneed, S-N-E-Y-D, who is one of our senior coaches here at the Working Parent Company. Her first book, called Returning Well, A Guide for Working Parents and Their Managers. Kirsty wrote an article for The Beacon in March this year. So if you didn't see that edition, you can find it on the website. Kirsty is an organisational psychologist, one of our senior coaching team, and also one of our most sought after speakers for lunch and learn sessions. If you'd like to find more out about the talks that Kirsty offers in organisations, then please just get in touch. And in terms of being, well, hopefully, like us, even though today is a bit chilly as I look out the window here in Bath, hopefully you have enjoyed the recent warm weather at home, which has given rise to far more time spent outdoors. In the rush of work, school runs, endless to-do lists, it's easy to forget the simple power of fresh air. And time outdoors isn't just good for our kids, it's really vital for us too. Nature, as we know, boosts mood, lowers stress and strengthens family bonds. Even a short walk can spark conversations with your children and laughter that screens can't replicate. So prioritising time outdoors really speaks to creating health, to creating space to breathe, connection and a reset, helping your whole family thrive in the chaos of family life. But there's another way we can think of outdoors, and we've been enjoying having coaching sessions outdoors, having walking meetings outdoors as a team, and as much as possible finding time to step outside during the day. So we hope you can find more times to do that at work and with your families, as hopefully the summer returns. Wishing you all the very best until next time. Thank you for listening.